Hi, everybody. This is Nancy Miller for My Creative Life, the podcast about creatives, how and why they make the work that they do. Today, my special guest is David McMullins. He's a full-time traveler and picture book author. He's been an actor, a library youth specialist, and a teacher. His debut book is Free to Be Fabulous, a picture book about being yourself, illustrated by Robbie Cathro and published by Clarion for 2024. Hi, David. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. It's good to be here.
David is an accomplished author. He's done writing for children's magazines. He writes a wide range of different kinds of writing. And he's also an illustrator as well. So I really appreciate you sharing all of your expertise with us today, David.
I can't wait.
Well, I was wondering, this is like probably the question you get asked the most. What inspired you to become an author?
There are so many answers. That is the best part about that question. I've always had a creative side of me. My first career was as an actor. I was a singer and a dancer, did the whole New York thing for a while, and that was fantastic. But my husband and I were ready to move on from that career. And when we did, I was no longer singing and dancing and acting, and that was my creative outlet. So I needed something else to fill that space. And drawing and writing slipped right in there. And it was really nice to have something that I enjoyed and helped me feel creative.
Well, that's wonderful. And I ask because the acting part of it, listen to an interview by the wonderful, fabulous author, illustrator, Tommy DePaula. He talked about taking an acting class when he was in college, and he said that really helped him understand the story of a character, how to develop that. Has acting influenced how you approach your writing?
I think definitely, because I've been storytelling. Not necessarily doing the writing in the beginning, but I was a part of the storytelling process, and I knew or learned what made a good story and how to. Those are things I try to do when I'm writing, try to interact with the audience and get them drawn into the story.
And I was wondering, with the acting, I know that I do this as an illustrator. It's embarrassing to say, but I act out the parts of whenever I'm planning out, like, how would this character feel, or how would they, you know, physically look? Do you do that when you're writing?
Definitely, because sometimes, you know, you're creating a character and you're like, I don't know what this character would do. And then you just try to put yourself into that scene and see how they talk and how they interact with other characters, how they interact with their environment. I definitely think it's kind of the same thing, acting and writing. You're finding a way to convey that the characters to the audience, just a different medium.
And with the illustration part that you're also doing, I was wondering, as far as what, you know, you talk a little bit earlier about what inspired that move into being creative with the illustrations. I was curious because I really love the technique that is on your website. You've got the beautiful textures from the cut paper, like, because I'm always fascinated because I love the fact that, you know, people who experiment with those traditional materials. What got you into picking that of all things?
I have no idea. It just came to me that that was the way I would create art, was to create layers of paper. I never considered that, what am I doing? Am I doing something different or interesting? Out of me, through layered paper. And somehow, I know you probably have the same, you have a very 3D mind because of the texture in your art. And I just know how the paper is supposed to be layered to accomplish the effect I'm looking for. And it's not something I ever learned. It's just something that I just kind of feel.
I can tell you're having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. The hard thing is, now that I'm traveling full time, I cannot use the cut paper medium. I can't travel with piles of paper. I can't travel with scissors. There's a lot of things I can't travel with. And so I have been trying to switch over to digital, which is learning a whole new group of skills. And it's been a lot of work. I've really kind of, like, I was doing a lot of artwork and then trying to learn this, I just kind of stopped sharing my art for quite a while because I was learning how to use a new medium. So I'm just now starting to share things again.
Oh, I think that's awesome that you're delving into another way of creating your art. And I think it's interesting because since you write and you're illustrating, how those two things mesh together into your own entire piece of work, I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's funny too, because I don't always think I'm the best artist for my writing. I have a lot of stories that I think I should not illustrate. Someone else should illustrate this. But I have some where I think, oh, I'm perfect for this. It's not necessarily an equal footing there of what I write and what I illustrate.
And I was wanting to, I have other questions, but I do have to ask about your travels. Like, it really was amazing. Like, I go to your blog and I read about, I was so excited. Then I went to your Instagram and then you had these beautiful photos of all these little experiences that you're having. I think it's fantastic. Like, what made you decide, like, you're going to go on this journey of world traveling?
Well, it started way back when I was an actor. I got a lot of jobs that took me to other parts of the world. I worked on cruise ships. I worked in Taiwan for a while doing a Disney show. I toured all over the country with different shows. And it just really gave me the travel bug. Luckily, my husband was in the same situation. He did a lot of touring and traveling also for his acting. Not always the same, but we were both doing it. And we both decided this is what we want to do. This is how we want to spend our lives. And so we really both went and got real jobs. I started teaching. He started nursing because we wanted jobs that would pay for a life of travel. And then we did nothing but save money so that we could do this. So really, I don't even know how many years now, but we've been out a year now this time, but we've been out for probably 5 or 6 years of travel before this too. And this time we plan to go for another at least 3 years before we go back to work. Yeah, it's not a traditional life, but neither is writing, neither is acting. So I'm used to not having a traditional life, and we're really enjoying it here.
It's just so inspiring. And then I saw the picture you posted, and I think there was also accompanying videos. You're just so adventurous. Like, you were tasting those bugs, and then at first I was like, oh wow, and he's just going for it. And I just feel like, you know, that gave me a sense of how you look at life, how the travels, and how this probably informs your own writing and your illustrating. I just was like, I felt like I was going on a little adventure with you, David. And so I really enjoy the posts on Instagram. I'm a visual person, so I just love that you're sharing those little snippets. And can I ask, though, like, how did you decide, like, where are you going to start? Like, where you're going to go to next?
I'll tell you, we don't always know. We often will just look at where the next cheap flight is and go to that part of the world. Been lucky so far. We've probably been to somewhere between 80 and 90 countries with our travels. Recently, we've been booking quite a bit ahead because Rob's mother is traveling with us. So now we're a party of three traveling around the world. So we've planned ahead for the next 6 months this time, which is really rare for us. But really, it's just about what we haven't done yet, what we want to see. And when we travel, it's not all tourist. We're definitely not out every day doing tourist activities. We get an apartment for about a month and we just live there. We try to just experience the local area. And, you know, so there's days we don't leave the apartment. There's many days we just cook at home every day. We're not typical tourists, even though we are out traveling the world.
That makes you get a chance to kind of maybe blend in with the community, meet some people like you wouldn't normally get to maybe develop some friendships with. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then it gives us a lot of time to, like, it gives me a lot of time to work on my art and my writing, because I don't feel the pressure of going out every day and doing something. I can oftentimes, it's very much just like my life was back home when I was living in the States. I wake up, I take a shower, I eat breakfast, I work on the computer, and, you know, it's not as exotic as everyone hopes it is, but it is, because I really am getting to see a lot of the world and enjoying what I'm doing. Yes.
Well, I can tell, because definitely the view is different. I was like, oh, that's so neat. Or he's at a festival, or there's like just these really cool photos of these places that I, to be honest, that I don't know that I'll ever get a chance to go to. So super exciting.
I will say, everyone always asks, how can you do this? And really, we just made the decision many years ago that this was what was important to us. So we put everything else on hold. We didn't eat out. We didn't go to movies. We didn't go out with friends. We didn't do a lot of things that other people would do in their day-to-day lives. We really made this our whole focus and goal. So anyone who puts that much energy into anything and focus into something can do it. You know, it's just making choices and following them. And it's not about money either, which is also the other question. You must have $1 million. I was a teacher. Rob was a nurse. We weren't making a lot of money. We just chose that that was where our money was going. And it's actually much cheaper for us to travel than it is to live in the States. Because we don't have a car, we don't have house payments, we don't have like home insurance or mortgages or rent. We have a different rent, but rent is cheaper while traveling. So it really is cheaper for us to be traveling than to stay at home.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, you bring up a good point, because some of the places you're visiting, probably the cost of living might also be, and if you are going out for to enjoy yourself for entertainment and things like that, it's probably cheaper.
It is, yeah, much cheaper. It all works out, you know, and it goes into like writing also. People are like, how can you spend time writing when you have a job and everything? You just make the choice that that's what's important to you, and you put your focus on that. Now, I'm sure you spend more time on your art than most people do on any other activity.
Yes, I agree with that. And one of the things, it's funny, I inadvertently became a writer because of encouragement from a professor I had in one of my illustration classes during graduate school. But then as I did it, I was like, oh, this is really hard, but I really like it in a strange way, because it gave me so much more creative freedom. And then the satisfaction when it's all yours, with the help, of course, the team of the editors, the art director, and all of those other people as well, there's something so soul satisfying in this creative process, even though it can be at times, the writing is very challenging for me because it doesn't come naturally. Way, way further behind than you are with your writing. You know, I saw on your website, it might have been part of your blog, but like, you know, you have so much writing experience. Like, there was a thing, I wrote 52 manuscripts, like, I think in the course of a year, I think that commitment and the time you spent writing, and hard when you have to get some satisfaction internally because you don't always know that there's going to be a payoff. How do you feel about that? About being
I completely agree. One of the main things before I knew I was going to be published, kind of my mantra was, if I can finish, die, I hate to use that word, but if I can reach the end and I have done everything I can working towards the publishing goal, even if I don't get published, I will know I have done everything I can. I don't want to get to the end and think, oh, I could have done something more. Because then I would be disappointed. But if I've done everything I can, I can't be disappointed, even if it doesn't happen. And there's just, yeah, that's kind of the attitude I had, was do everything I can. And that's like the 50 books that you were talking about. Every year I give myself some huge challenge. And 1 year I decided to write a new picture book manuscript every week for a year. And I've actually done that 3 times now. So you can imagine how many manuscripts there are. I've had like 1 month, I decided, oh, I'm going to write a different manuscript every day of the month. And I did that 1 year. I've decided to read 1,000 picture books in a year. And so I did that. And I took notes on every single book and notes about characters and what point of view it's from. And I just took tons and tons of notes. So I really give myself huge challenges so that in the end, I know I did everything I can to reach my goal.
That is wonderful advice. That laser focus has served you well because you have your debut picture book, Free to Be Fabulous, which it's gorgeous. I went to your website and I saw the cover. It looks fantastic. How do you feel? Like all this work and you're now at this point where it's going to be coming out like next year. Like literally, we're almost into next year.
It's amazing because I've been writing. This has not been a quick and easy journey for me. I see so many people, they write a book and 3 years later, they're published. That is not my journey. I started seriously deciding to do this 10 years ago when I joined SCBWI and I said, I want to publish a book. And then now it's going to be 10 years before a book is published. So I worked long and hard. So it's not always an easy road, even if you put in the work. There's so many other factors that fall into it. There is a lot of luck, actually. I think a lot of luck comes into who reads your work on the right day, when they're in the right mood. You know, you can sit down and watch a movie with someone and they hate it and you love it. And it's the same movie, you know? So it's such a subjective field that you have to go into it understanding that you have to love it and enjoy what you're doing because there's no guarantee of a happy result or a happy result is doing good work, but of a publishing result.
Can I ask, where did that persistence, I know you said that laser focus, but where did you get that? Because it seems like there's this consistent kind of like when I'm thinking back to the things you've told me so far, you know, you were an actor. I'm assuming that could not have been an easy career path to do all that. You know, like, where does that persistence, that drive to be like, I'm going to do this?
I cannot say where, but I do know that even when I was young, I always wanted to achieve big things and then didn't do it right away. And it took me longer than everyone else. And so I think I just got used to the fact that I will get there. It just is not going to be fast. My acting career, I didn't get on Broadway until I was 35. And yet everyone else starts their Broadway careers in their young 20s often. I just stuck with it until it eventually happened. You know, it's not. And I think acting helps me a lot because acting is full of rejection. I would go to auditions every day and hear the famous, thank you, you know, and leave the room and come back to another audition the next day and hear, thank you, and leave and come back. It was just a never-ending process. So I think that really helped me thicken my skin. So now when I hear rejections, I hardly even notice anymore. It's like, yeah, whatever, next person. When I was an actor, I was dreaming of being on Broadway. And of course, it's very difficult to get there. And I would always watch them put up the new marquees for the new show. So you'd walk through Times Square and you would see the brand new show, their signs going up. And it was so exciting. And I always thought, this is one marquee closer to my marquee. Every time a new one went up, I just knew that mine was going to be up there someday. I just had to wait for my turn. And that was kind of the same way with books. I saw lots and lots and lots of books being published, and I just knew mine would come. So, and it makes it easier to celebrate other people's successes when you have that kind of attitude. Instead of going, oh, I wish that were me, you can say, I'm so glad you did it. My time is coming. And you can celebrate other people's successes that way.
Wonderful. And I also think it is like the stories, because I could never write your story, because I feel like just from, you know, what I've read up on it, like that story is you, you know, like in the stories that I write are me. And it's just so different, our life experience, because I truly feel like author, illustrator, or either or, we draw so many little things from our own lives that makes it very visually or read uniquely to whoever created it, I feel like. And that in my limited writing experience, and that's just what I, because I'll read something, I was like, oh, this is wonderful, but I don't know that I could have written that because I just never had necessarily that life experience or maybe even that interest in that topic or whatever. But it's beautifully written and it speaks to me.
Well, it's the funny thing about this story is I never set out to write stories that were personal, about the LGBTQ experience, that were more on the serious side. I really love writing comedy and making kids laugh. I feel like my contribution to literature is more on the entertainment side than the educational or social side. And then I remember listening, I always follow everything people say on blogs and everything. And someone had said, write what you know, write your childhood experience. So I started thinking, what is a childhood experience I had? And this is the story that came out of that exercise of trying to find my own experience. And then when my agent saw all of my pieces, almost all of them were comedy, quirky, funny pieces, and then this piece. And she said, let's try sending this piece out. And it's the first piece someone bought. So that was pretty fun. It's interesting that the most personal story is the one that got someone's attention first.
Fantastic. Now, can I ask, like, have you physically, like, how are they going to get the copies to you? Your author, you're traveling? Like, how did that work? Like, predestined, like, please send it to this address or I'll be there time.
I have no idea. And I am thinking that it may be a year before I actually hold my own book. I think that's kind of crazy, but it's possible. Yeah, I'll have to, once it actually is physical, I'll try to get someone to send it. But again, Rob and I travel with two carry-ons, so we don't have room for extra things. Even my own book doesn't make the cut.
Oh my goodness. But with the opportunity of you traveling and your book going out there, I just think it's, you never know. Like, I'll see, like, on Twitter or sometimes Instagram, somebody's like, they stop at a bookstore, like randomly, like a bookstore, and then their book is there. I mean, like, well, that moment just be like, it's out there.
Yeah, whenever I'm in another country, I always go to the bookstore and look and see if I can see friends' book. It's always fun when you happen to encounter something like that.
That's so exciting, David. I mean, you've just put so much of yourself and your work ethic, your craft into creating this amazing book. And the artwork is just beautiful. I love the color palette that the illustrator selected. It just feels so joyous. And I just was like,
yeah, I think when you see the whole thing too, you're really going to love it. It's all similar to what the cover is, but there's a few more pops of color that I think that are used to really good effect within the book. Yeah, I was very lucky to be matched up with Robbie Cathrow. I think his art is just beautiful. And yes, some of the illustrations near the end of the book are just so gorgeous. They are truly art.
I have to say, because your acting background, oh my goodness, like the way you read that story, it's got to be fantastic. Because I was like, I thought about it, I was like, oh, he probably just, because that performance aspect, picture books are normally meant to be read to an audience of young readers. Like, I bet you they will just love having you read your book to them.
I hope so. Again, because of my travels, I'm not going to be able to do any in-person school visits or library visits. So it's going to be a little bit of a different path than a lot of authors, which I still don't exactly know how I'm going to negotiate, but I'm looking forward to figuring it out.
I think you will, David, because you have that laser focus and that determination. You'll have an audience somewhere that you will be reading your book and they will be enjoying hearing your story about how you've done all of this with your writing. And I think it'll be such a huge encouragement to young readers that, you know, they want to write their own stories. They want to see themselves in their work. I think that's fantastic.
I'm excited to see what happens. Yes.
So can I ask, how do you manage, like when you're traveling, that work-life balance going?
We do work first. So we make sure we always get what we need to accomplish as far as by writing. We also have a YouTube channel that's for travelers. And we make sure that we have all of our videos edited and put together. And we do all of that before we go out and have fun. So as far as finding a balance, we have plenty of time because that is our only job. But we do make sure we do that first so that we don't fall behind on any. And in fact, sometimes we have to really work ahead because we know in the coming months, we're here 3 more weeks, but then we have 1 week in Lisbon, 1 week in London, and then we go to Greece for a few weeks. And we know during that time, we're going to be really busy seeing these cities. And so we have to do a lot of work ahead of time so that we make sure when we have those times, so a lot of our time here in Portugal, we are just working, but we plan ahead of time. That's basically what we do.
You're so organized. You're so disciplined. And, you know, I do get that from other creators. They're like, I know, you know, it can be a struggle to be disciplined, to treat it like a job because you probably then get more for your efforts when you treat it like it's a profession.
Yes. Although I also don't treat it like a job because I love it and enjoy it. I don't want it to ever feel like something I have to do. Even when I have an editor deadline, which I haven't really had to worry about too much yet, I know it's something I want to do. It's not something I have to do. So I can enjoy the process and figuring out the puzzle of making something that makes me happy and makes my editor happy and makes the audience happy.
Now, if you could go back in a time machine to your younger self and give yourself some advice about this wonderful travel, creative, writing, art journey, what would that be?
I would have probably, it's very cheesy, but followed my heart more. I kind of felt like I was expected, the arts aren't what everyone's expected to do. And so I followed a science track and I enjoyed biology and I loved it. And that wasn't a problem. But I think my real heart was with art and performing. And I didn't start doing that until I was in college. So I would have probably given myself the opportunities to start the arts younger. And also I would have, again, told myself to be less shy, which is not something I could have just told myself to, was not comfortable around people. And to be an actor, you have to be comfortable around people. So I don't think it's possible to tell myself to not be shy, but I think I could have told myself that taking chances with people would not be as scary as it seemed like it would be.
Is there anyone you would like to, you know, give a shout out that helped you along your creative journey?
I was lucky to have, well, my husband and my parents, of course, because they, from the beginning, never questioned my desire to follow a creative path. As soon as I said that's what I wanted, they were like, okay, go for it. Which is very lucky, I know, on my part. Not everyone has the people closest to them supporting their creative journey. So I know I was very lucky there. Also in college, my very first voice teacher, because I was still a biology student in college, and I took a beginning voice class for a general education requirement. And he pulled me aside one day and he said, I think you've got something special and I would like to work with you privately. And so then I started taking private lessons and joining choirs and then doing shows. And his encouragement, because I probably would not have done it on my own, but his encouragement helped me discover that I did want to be an actor. And it completely changed the direction of my life. So yeah, that was pretty nice.
Oh, I could talk to you all day, David. You're just so fascinating, and just really just your life and what you've done and accomplished is just so inspiring on a whole new level for me. And I know that this is just a podcast, and I really want people to check out your work, your life, and then the YouTube channel. Like, I'll put them in the description box of the podcast, okay. But could you like maybe mention it and so that they know also?
Okay, so the YouTube channel, it's about travel. So if you're not interested in long-term travel, it may not be for you, but you can come by and subscribe anyways. It's 10 degrees warmer, spelled out T-E-N degrees warmer. And that is our YouTube channel. And we also have Instagram and Facebook and all of that too. Personally, for my books, it's all my website is David McMullen Books, and my website's kind of a mess now, but now that I actually have a book coming out, I think I will re-examine sprucing that up because it needs some sprucing up. And then on Instagram and Twitter, I'm David McMullen PB.
Well, David, thank you so much. And oh, by the way, is your book available for pre-order as well now, or is that
going to be... It is available at any major bookseller. Okay.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I need to make sure I put that on my pre-order list because I really want a copy of it. So thank you, David, for your sharing your journey. And I wish you continued success on your travels and your writing and illustrating.
Thank you. Having the time of my life, it's funny how everyone, you know, people talk about the halcyon days of their high school or college years. And I think, oh, no way. Like, my life is better every single year. And I only expect it to keep getting better. So I encourage people to, yeah, truly follow what you love because life gets better and better and better. And I love your work. So I'm really happy to be on this journey with you, Nancy, because I think your work is terrific and I can't wait to see your books coming out too.
Thank you, David, for all of your encouragement. Thank you, everybody, for listening to My Creative Life. Bye.